Everyone, welcome to the New Media Show. My name is Todd Cochran. I'm joined by my co-host, Rob Greenlee. Rob, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Todd. It's great to be here to talk about all new media and podcasting. And we have a terrific guest on the show to talk about a kind of a new thing that's happening in the podcast area.
Yeah, absolutely. And I want to welcome Dan Franks on. Dan, good morning. Welcome to the show.
Good morning. Thanks, Todd. Thanks, Rob, for having me.
Well,
thank you.
Before we get into the full stack this morning, Rob, you just got back from New York, yeah?
Actually, I did not go to New York.
Oh. What happened?
I don't know if that's me or, hang on.
No, I think it was me.
Yeah, I didn't wind up going to New York, actually, because all of my flights got canceled because of the snowstorm back there. So I just canceled the whole trip.
Well, did the whole conference get shut down then?
Actually, the conference still went on. It looked like most people were able to make it. So it actually worked out well. It's actually, I can see it as a stream. So it's not, I don't know that it's publicly out there yet, but I think it will be here soon.
So did Norm get out, or did he?
He did. He actually flew out on a private jet, so he was able to get out there.
Wow. I guess that's when you're part of the rich and famous, you can do that, yeah?
Yeah, he does that a fair amount, so.
Oh, that's cool. So the conference you guys were at was the RAIN conference, right?
Yeah, exactly. It was the RAIN Summit at New York City, and it was sponsored by the WNYC folks.
Okay.
And it was pretty well attended. It had folks on from a variety of parts of the podcast space, and it was really interesting because it actually combined kind of the music space with the podcasting space. So it was really interesting.
So are they going to have all that, all those sessions then available, or you have to be a attendee to get access to the,
sessions? They'll actually make the full videos of both parts of the whole conference, available here soon. So
that'll be something we'll have to turn everybody on to when they're up online so they can go watch.
Yep.
As I know a lot of folks weren't doing that.
Yep.
But so second week on the job, how you doing?
Doing all right. Hanging in there. I was actually up here, up in Seattle the whole week. So I didn't head down to L.A. I just work from here. But next week, back to L.A.
Well, that's jet-setting life. Your wife's going to have to get used to having you not around the house very much.
Yeah, it's only about 3 days that I'm gone, so it's not the end of the world.
My wife is like, yahoo, he's leaving, he's on a trip, he's gone. So anyway, we've been ignoring Dan. Dan, good morning, we're just, it's one of these things on this show, we just free flow and go as we please. So,
hey, I'm sitting back, and Rob, congratulations on that. I know Jared was talking to me about it. Jared, one of my partners in this project we're doing, he was telling me about that. So I went back and listened to your episode last week where you guys announced it and talked about it. So congratulations. That's actually really cool. I was at New Media Expo during the panel when they were talking about the whole podcast one and how it was growing and where it was going. So, it's really exciting. I'm excited for you guys and excited to see where it all goes.
Yeah, I am too. I think it's great that the whole podcast space is kind of has the potential of growing up here a little bit. And it appears to be showing signs that it is becoming a little bit more of a serious medium. You know, Todd has been a big part of that. And I think it's really getting there. So I'm excited.
I got to tell you, my wife, she's in school still, and she's taking classes at the university. And she's got a business class where they have to start their own business. And it's a group project, and she was asking around and talking to her other classmates about maybe what this business they would start would be. And she suggested, why don't we do a podcast, because that's all she sees me doing in my free time is the podcast. And some guy goes, oh, that's a really good idea, but does anyone even listen to podcasts anymore? And she came back to me and asked me that, and I said, yeah, more than ever. And all I had to do was drop podcast one and all the big name celebrities that are moving there, not moving away from it. And then, of course, Stitcher going in all the luxury cars and, going into the standard cars now, too. And I think that's, you know, evidence in itself that it's not, you know, it's not shrinking. It's growing, obviously. We know that, but people on the outside are still, I guess, not clear.
You know, there was a phone call I did earlier in the week. It was, it was with the folks from Harman, and they are, let me put it up on the website. They've got this new, well, it's not necessarily new, but they've got this thing called AHA Radio, and it's an app that basically you can work with any Harman product that's in vehicles. Most people don't know it, but most vehicles, the white label radio that's in your car, if it, it may say AM, FM, cassette, not a cassette, a CD, and you know all the stuff that's on there, it may have the Honda name on it, but it's actually the back end of its Harman.
Sure.
And so they are making just a huge number of models is going to work with this app, and they're adding podcasts to the app. So it's another, you know, you got Stitcher, you've got Livio, now you got AHA Radio. So, you know, there's going to be plenty of options, you know, from a consumption standpoint, even in the vehicles going forward. And, it, you know, we've all been doing it on our mobile devices forever since, you know, since the beginning, but it'll just make it up on the interactive screen in your car. So I think it's, that's exciting in itself, the, and truly being able to have an equal playing field with, you know, AM and FM.
So. Yeah, though I think that there's going to be a blended solution here.
Right.
There's going to, most people are going to still do it through their phone.
Yep.
But I do think that more and more the ease of usability of these apps on the dash will slowly, I think, start to take some of that, you know, away from the phone, because it's kind of a safety issue too. You don't necessarily want to be holding your phone and doing stuff on your phone to get to content while you're driving, right? That's not in, you know, in a lot of states, that's not legal.
Right.
So it's better to maybe even share that experience with the console, somehow pull the data through the phone into the console. But more and more of these cars are going to have these apps built in there that make direct connections to stream right from the car, not actually using your phone. But it's always going to be an option. I mean, if you don't want to get a data plan that connects just to your car, though I would say that it's getting easier and easier to do that here, especially as you look at kind of the shared family plans that are starting to come down from some of the carriers where you can easily add a new device. I can totally see where, you know, add my car, you know.
Right.
So
the one thing he did say was that they definitely have the experience going from the phone to the car. It's not two separate things. The phone feeds the vehicle.
Okay.
Because he says the same thing. People don't want to have to buy another internet connection for their car. And, you know, they just, you know, essentially tether the phone to the vehicle. And he says another thing, too, is if you're driving, you know, if whoever's got, usually the driver controls the radio. At least that's the way it is in my vehicle. That's the rules. Plus the wife overrides me. But typically whoever's phone is synced then will have control. So, if you know, if the wife is driving, it's her phone that would be the one that would make the pair. So, you know, it's going to work itself out over time. Eventually, it'll just be connectivity in the car and we don't have to worry. It'll come with the price of the vehicle, but time will, you know, that time will take care of that. But, you know, I think the space is healthy. You know, we've talked about this many, many, many times here on the show. But, Dan, you know you're working with Gary. I've been talking with Gary quite a bit. Matter of fact, I'm working with Gary on the Podcast Entertainment Magazine, that first episode, or first the first issue comes out digitally on the 15th. So we're 7 days away from that. I'm excited to see that come out. 1,200. How many words was your article, Rob? I did 1,200 on mine.
I think mine was, 1,140, I think.
So we're pretty close then. So it's going to be a good read because there's a bunch of us that have put stuff in. So we're all, as I like to say, we're all feeding a certain level of propaganda.
Well, I got to tell you, I'm an a writer for that magazine as well, so I guess I'm feeding the propaganda as well.
And I say,
Todd,
that just
not propaganda coming from me. It's only propaganda coming from you guys.
Okay, you know, like I told Cliff Ravenscraft a number of years ago when he took over for the you know, managing the New Media Expo podcast track. I told him, I said, Cliff, I said, everyone has an agenda. I said, I don't care who you are. I said, there's someone has an agenda of one, and it may be not nefarious, it may be a, you know, a good agenda, but someone always has an agenda.
Sure.
You know, so.
That's true.
But let's talk a little bit about this podcast movement, and folks that want to get a little more information, you can go over to podcastmovement.com. Matter of fact, I'll let me punch it up here on the website. You're 4 days, 22 hours, 46 minutes, and 52 seconds away from kicking off your Kickstarter, too. So what's going on over there, Dan? What are you guys doing?
Well, you know, and this is just, like you said, a countdown for that Kickstarter. But really, this is our first foray, and it's myself, Gary Leland, as you mentioned, who's been around longer than anyone else involved in our podcast movement conference. And then Jared Easley and Mitch Todd are two other guys that are working. So it's kind of the four of us working together on this podcast movement conference. And what it is, it's a purely podcast conference. And I know there's been national level podcast conferences before that have come and gone. But right now there's really nothing out there that's like that. And we saw the need for it. We went to New Media Expo, and we go to some of these other conferences, you know, whether it's the Agents of Change or World Domination Summit or some of these social media marketing summits. And quite honestly, at least half of all these conferences are made up of either current or prospective podcasters. And a lot of these people want more podcast-focused sessions or, you know, more advanced podcast-focused sessions. And we just saw the need for something that 100% focused on podcasters alone. So we got together and decided to do it. And that's kind of at the root of what we're doing, is we're just trying to provide something that we have heard and we know and we've seen people want.
I'm not familiar with Jared or Mitch. What is their association with podcasting?
Yeah, so Jared Easley, he has been podcasting for a couple years now, and he has a podcast called Starve the Doubts. And I know he worked kind of as Cliff's right-hand man for the past few years on New Media Expo. He's helped coordinate some of the speakers. He's been on some panels. He's coordinated the introductions for the speakers at New Media Expo. That's really given the podcast track over there the big time feel, with real introductions for the speakers and things like that. So he's really worked with Cliff to kind of elevate the podcast track over there. And then Mitch Todd, he's local to Gary and I here in Dallas, and he's really in tune with the local technology scene here in Dallas. He also podcasts, but he really... He's the one that's at all the local meetups and knows everybody in the tech space here in Dallas. So just kind of all of our you know, qualifications combined really put together a good team for this.
Well, that's cool. It's nice to see some additional faces take on some responsibilities in the space and build a conference. You know, Rob, you know, we had talked, my team had talked about doing something, and you know, it's a lot of work. I mean, I hope you guys know what is forthcoming from a workload standpoint, because, you know, we've done pod camps before and we know what it takes to do a pod camp. And you guys are basically taking this about five steps probably beyond a pod camp. And yeah, it's, you know, it's a huge, huge, you know, putting on a conference is much different than putting on a full blown conference. So yeah, my hat's off to you guys for doing the heavy lifting, because we'd basically decided if we were going to do something, it was going to be a little more informal, because just the, you know, the expectations are a lot higher when someone says it's going to be a conference. So it should be a lot of fun, though, I think. But August 16th, 17th in Dallas, you know, it's like 110 degrees in Dallas that time of year.
You know, it's true, and three of us live here, so we're used to that. But mentioning the pod camp in Dallas, Gary has put on the local pod camp the last few years, so he's kind of got that introduction. And we've talked about how, okay, so you've done this, but yet, like you said, five times larger and five times harder and five times more work.
Right.
That's going to be what we're doing here. So we've multiplied Gary by four with four of us going in, but that's still that 1/5 left that we have to make up between the four of us.
Well, I think you guys would do fine. And, you know, I think, you know, Rob, if we can, you know, go back to the old days, you know, when we had the, you know, the family reunion atmosphere when we were still going to the original conference back in California, if they can figure out how to get that vibe, you know, I think that will be critical. You know, and you know, my only advice to you guys is, you know, we had more fun in the afternoon and evening events, at some of the early events where we were all able to kind of get together, and people would throw, you know, we'd go to a bar and there would be you know, a bar that you could talk, not be drowned out by a 5,000 decibel band in the background. So if you can find good venues where there's a lot of fun, but yet at the same time people can socialize, I think that'll be huge. It's you know, I know that was a big part of our success with those earlier day events is just the evening atmosphere. And, you know, I'll give props to the folks at New Media Expo for what they do in Vegas. But in Vegas, you're so distracted. You head off into Netherlands after the show's over. No one ever hooks up and sees each other unless you try to get a small group together. So try to have us all in one hotel, if at all possible. That'll help things for sure.
Well, yeah, that's definitely one of the plans. And I'm sorry, but yeah, New Media Expo, we all were there, all of us that are putting it on. And that's one of the takeaways we had on just this last one was that, yeah, everybody enjoyed the conference, but everybody was looking for ways to get together afterwards. And a lot of them were just these little informal meetups.
Yeah.
And I think the sheer size and the volume of people that were there made it hard to do something official where everybody gets together after in an informal environment. So it was a lot of these smaller little groups, but I 100% agree. Our size is going to be much smaller than the New Media Expo. So that is one of our focuses, a little more organization to getting people together and providing venues for them to do that.
I think you guys might be surprised. It may not be that small because if you looked at the audience at New Media Expo, it was made up of, you know, three groups, you know, and the podcasting group by far. I don't know what the breakout is, and Rick, I don't think Rick has ever said, but you know, you could have a comparable or larger podcasting group come to Dallas than maybe what came to Vegas. What do you think, Rob?
I mean, it's very possible because it's more centrally located. I mean, you're in Texas; it's closer to people on the East Coast. It's closer to people on the, you know, on the West Coast. So it's sitting right in the middle, and I think it has an opportunity to be an important conference for the industry. And I think, but one thing that the conference needs to really do is it needs to do a really terrific job at really, really super advanced sessions for the podcasters that are playing at the top level of their game to really try and get those people there. But it's important to have, you know, the intermediate and beginner side too, but to have a really strong advanced track, I think is really, really needed. Yeah, I don't know. Todd, what's your thought on that?
Yeah, I agree. And finding the right people, you know, that's going to be the key, is to find the right people that's going to lead those sessions. One aspect, too, that happened in Ontario that we forget about is the fans came out as well. So don't forget, you know, the audiences may, you know, there may be an opportunity to bring in, you know, some of the super fans of these shows that are going to, you know, guys are going to be there to meet up as well. Because, you know, I remember, you know, you look at, you know, some of the early names, Don and Drew and some of those folks, they had fans that actually came to Ontario just to see Don and Drew at their own special evening event. So there might be, you know, there might be some reach out there. And I don't know, you know, what the total plans are, but going back to what Rob said on the advanced sessions, you want to have proven, trusted, the key word there I think is important, trusted session leaders that are truly in these advanced courses, have walked the walk and talked the talk and are doing things. They just, so many of these, you know, I don't want to be critical, but I've seen some speakers get through on some of these conferences. I'm like, who is this? You know, and you know, you've been podcasting 3 months, and you're speaking to the audience. You know, and unless you're a superstar and doing them, you know, something incredible, I would be careful, because what will happen is if the talent list, or not necessarily the talent, the session leaders are not trustworthy, then people aren't just going to come. They're going to say, "Oh, this is just some deal for some guy to speak at a conference."
Well, I agree with both of you. And that advanced track, that's something that was one of our main focus when we first got this started, because I know, like at New Media Expo, if you dig down deep into the actual session descriptions, you see that, yes, this one's made for intermediate or this one's made for advanced. But at the end of the day, because of you know, for whatever reason, a lot of the sessions were kind of trying to encapsulate the whole audience from the whole spectrum of experience level. And that's something that, you know, I personally, and I can't speak for anyone else, but that's something that I wanted to see different. I wanted to see, hey, if you're here as an experienced podcaster and you're trying to take it up a level, you're not just trying to learn the foundations. You have your format or you have your ideas. You're not looking for that. You're looking to technically take it up a notch or, you know, whatever that might be. That's what we want to place for people as well. So we really have put a lot of focus and thought into trying to bring in these guys, you know, like the two of you, these people with so much experience that you can teach things, new things to these people that think they know everything almost. We really are trying to appeal to all podcasters. Now, Todd, what you talked about is a little different with the whole fans. And that's something that we've gone back and forth about because we do have limited space at our venue. So trying to figure out everything from price points to speaker selection, the people that really will bring in the podcasters, because that's who it's for. And, you know, we're not going to not sell tickets to people who want to come, right, obviously. But yeah, bringing these fans, a lot of the people we're having have their own set of fans. So, you know, it's a balance. And we've had some people talking to us about, well, why don't you bring in this speaker? And my answer is, well, I don't think they appeal to podcasters. They appeal to more podcast fans. And, you know, with limited space and session, you know, and speakers as well as limited space and attendees, that's a balance that we're really working on finding.
What is your guys' capacity? Do you know what it is?
Yeah, so the building capacity is 600. And to go into the whole idea of location and everyone staying in the same hotel and all of those things, it's actually in Addison, Texas, which is a suburb just north of Dallas. It's only got about 4,000 people there. But the conference center is smack dab in the middle, and there's three or four hotels that really are within about an eighth of a mile of the conference center. And then restaurants circle all the hotels, and there's bars all over. So it's the most walkable town in the Dallas-Fort Worth area that we could find. That's one of the big reasons that we picked Addison. And, of course, the Dallas location as a whole, you guys talked about it being so central to everyone in the United States. That was really appeal, you know, to us as well.
Rob, I think they'll sell 600 tickets in 30 days.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that's true. I think it sounds like a perfect kind of situation. Though I'd be a little concerned about, you know, that conference could grow beyond your capacity, and just curious, is there a backup plan? Do you have room to grow, I guess, is my question, or are you going to have to move if it gets bigger than 600?
I mean, that is one of the issues. We would have to move to a different venue, and there's other options in that town. In Addison that we could grow to. Okay. But, you know, we you know, let's kind of address it if it actually happens.
Sure.
But we do have, I guess you would call it like an emergency plan, a good emergency, but we do kind of have something like that lined up.
Well, I think it's going to be fun, educational. It'll be curious to see how things shapes up after the Kickstarter gets going, you know, how, what the reaction is to that from the, you know, from the jump start. So I think it's going to be, I'm excited for you guys to do this. And being that there's no major podcasting conference scheduled for 14, I think it's at a perfect time too. It's in August. It's not around a holiday. At least I don't think it is.
I don't think it is.
Yeah. No. So, you know, that's something it's good for. It's not straight coming off of Christmas and New Year's. So I think it's a good move and a good time. So, you know, it's large. You guys are going to largely focus on the conference aspect, which is good. Is there going to be any vendor participation? Are you going to have any? Is it just going to be something very basic, vendor tables or something like that?
So this is one of the things that we're pretty excited about, because the venue itself has a couple, or I should say the area that the conference center is in has a couple secondary buildings around it that are also available for presentations and sessions. So once we do release the option to vendors to buy tables, we also, in addition to getting a table, you get a scheduled session in one of these secondary buildings. And we're almost calling it like it's a cottage that seats about 100 people, and we're calling it like a demonstration cottage. We don't have a name for it yet, but for the vendors to demonstrate their product. So if it's you know, if it's a software, you're going to have control, and people can go in there and watch you do the software, have an interactive session, as opposed to just walking by your booth and hearing about it or maybe seeing a video. Same thing if we are able to get, you know, some hardware manufacturers in there. Same thing, being able to demonstrate them, get people up on stage, testing them out. So we think that's something pretty unique that we're able to do with the space. And the vendor hall is actually, it surrounds the main rooms. So to get to any of the conference centers or any of the sessions, you have to kind of walk through the vendor area. So to me, that's way better than shoving the vendors off in, you know, a side room where people only go in there if they're looking for vendors, because quite honestly, a lot of people will avoid that room. Right. So, you know, it's kind of forced exhibition.
The one thing that I think would be, and I don't, time is always a challenge at any conference, trying to figure out how many tracks you're going to have and everything else. One thing that I have found is that, you know, sometimes, Rob, I always felt rushed at some of these events where you only get 45 minutes. You know, an hour seems to be pretty good. You get a good 40 minutes of, you know, of a presentation, and then a good 20 minutes for interaction. And some sessions may not need to go that long, and if they don't, that maybe that's good too. People can get up and roam, so they, you know, people shouldn't feel obligated to go an hour if they can't. But if they can, I think there's some sessions that probably easily could go an hour. But one thing I would suggest you guys and to consider is that if the vendors are going to have, because I'm, you know, obviously I'll be considering coming as a vendor as well. One thing that we've always, you know, battled is the ability to justify the cost. Is you want to see as many bodies as possible and get the most bang for your buck. So if the vendor sessions or the vendor, and really what these are is, you know, you get a vendor table, you get to do a, you know, 1 hour session or whatever it would be. Are those going to be times that are going to be in conjunction with the normal sessions, or are those going to be, you know, like before lunch or after lunch or after the show, or how are you going to, have you guys decided how you're going to intermix that yet?
Sure. So just to kind of give, since we're talking about the conference, give a little idea of what's happening. The main conference room is where the keynotes will happen and all the main sessions where everybody is in. So that's going to be the entire room of the conference center, and that's where that 600 capacity comes in. From there, after that, those morning keynotes or early, you know, early, late morning keynotes, it's going to break for the lunch break, the vendor time, while the staff of the building, they split it up into three session rooms. And then that's when people will be, you know, going to the vendor area. And that's one of the times when those demonstrations will be going on. Now, depending on the demand for vendors that want to take advantage of the demonstration room, then that might have to, some of those might have to go concurrently with the sessions. But right now the plan is, while that, you know, quote unquote room reset is happening, that's going to be the prime time for the demonstrations going on. So people will, you know, grab their lunch or whatever it may be and go in there, and that would be the perfect time. So then if they want nonstop sessions, there is a way to do it.
So how you guys work in the keynote picks? You know, the keynote picks are going to be very, very important to have a very, you know, you should have a headline person that's going to be coming in for that. Are you guys think you can get a big enough draw of people to draw a headline person for a keynote, or?
You know, it's a balance because, first of all, being new on a budget, we have to kind of strategically plan out how much certain people that we may have wanted to target, if money weren't an object or if we had all this front end cash to use, that kind of limits some of the choices we might have. But quite honestly, reaching out to some of these quote unquote bigger names in the space, we're a little late in the game to get some of them, because while we might not be conflicting with any other conferences going on in August that these guys are speaking at, a lot of them are booked for a couple in July or a couple in September. So them, to their credit, they don't want to dilute themselves and their speaking. So they have turned us down because of things like that. And, you know, other times there's different conflicts going on. And in terms of reaching out to some of the super megastars, some people would probably call them, you know, that's kind of out of the question. But because there are, you know, four of us working on this, we all are in different spaces of the podcast, different levels of experience in podcasting. We've kind of all come together to pick out a number of people and reach out to people. And I don't want to say that if we have, you know, four keynotes that each one of us get to pick one of the keynotes.
Right.
But kind of all of our different levels melding together, I think so far in our speaker selection as well as our discussion of keynote speakers, has really kind of led to a good balance in who those people might be in, you know, what era, so to speak, they're from.
Do you have keynote people already picked?
So we have two people picked out, and these are kind of what we would maybe call like the rising stars in the industry. So Srinivas Rao, who has the Unmistakable Creative podcast, and he's got an Amazon bestseller, and he was actually recently on Glenn Beck, which for him is very random, but Glenn Beck picked up his book and was, I guess he was knocked off his feet, so he brought him on. So Srini has had a little bit of extra exposure because of that. And then Jamie Tardy, who you know, is in the entrepreneur interview space, she appeals to a lot of podcasters. So a lot of people that are aspiring or current podcasters, you know, really look up to her and are a fan of hers. So that was one of the big things going into selecting Jamie as one of our keynote speakers.
Not to be critical, but to be honest with you, I've never heard of either of these people. Rob, have you heard of either of those folks?
No, but I think that there is podcasters out there, Todd, that we don't necessarily hear about that are kind of like Dan said, are rising stars in this space. And I mean, I think that there's probably a few other folks that you guys should probably consider for your sessions that may be perceived to be bigger names too, that will get the attention of the podcaster community.
Yeah.
And I think
I don't argue
sense.
With that at all.
Sure.
I see exactly where you're coming from.
Sure.
And we are, you know, and that's a good thing. You know, Jared and I are kind of in the space that we know who those two people are, but Gary Leland, he's right there with you guys. He didn't know who they were. But I think that's where that balance comes, where, you know, the give and take of working with partnerships and being able to say, yeah, well, we do have, you know, four spots for keynotes.
Right.
So we're able to have some of these guys that maybe might be coming up in the space super fast and might be growing. But then we also have space for more established people that, you know, have bigger household names in terms of the podcasting area. So I completely agree. And that's absolutely going into our, you know, thought process going forward.
I just Googled both these folks, and I know you're in the entrepreneur space, and these folks looks like they're both as well in the entrepreneur space. And I think you have to be real careful here because, you know, a lot of people in the podcasting space will hear about an entrepreneur show and immediately they think they're trying to be sold something. So, you know, that's something you're going to have to really weigh carefully. At least that's in my opinion, because it's you know, there's a couple of podcasters out there in the entrepreneur space right now that, quite frankly, I'll leave my comments.
And you know what? I can interpret what you're saying, and I know what you're saying, and I agree. Kind of one of the, and we talk about the balance and the different struggles we're having is, quite honestly, a lot of the potential podcasters, that is the space they're in, maybe not because they're interested in the entrepreneurship thing, but a lot of those people that are in the entrepreneurship podcasting space are either the teachers or the advisors or run the coaching programs or whatever it is. So those are the people that, even if the attendees aren't looking to get into the entrepreneurial space with their podcast, those are the podcasters that they're looking up to and working with. So that's why maybe some of the speakers would be more heavily weighted towards that side. But you know, you said a lot by not saying anything, and I'm right there with you.
Yeah, Todd, I think there was quite a few people that had a bad experience at the New Media show that saw, you know, some guys up on stage that were less than credible in that way, and I think that's probably where a little bit of that comes from. Would you say, Todd, or?
I would think some of it, but that guy wasn't even a podcaster. And there's a couple of entrepreneur podcasters that, well, a lot of smoke and mirrors going on.
Yeah. So I think that, you know, I mean, my vision for what the podcasting space needs is it needs a conference that can really build community and get that back going in the space and also be a real professional conference for the serious podcasters, and frankly, it's something that I've thought about doing for many years. And Todd, I think I've talked to you about that.
Yeah.
That there's a need for it, because what we've seen typically is the podcast conferences have been focused on trying to help beginners, right? And so what you see happen is you see a lot of newbies going to these events, but you don't see the guys that are building businesses go to, like I talked to the guy that runs podcasting for Fox News and talked to him and told him, so have you even heard of the New Media Expo? And he goes, no. So there's a certain segments of the big podcasters that just don't know about these community things. And back in the early days of the podcasting space, we had those big guys that were involved in the space come to these conferences. And that's just something that we need to get, you know, the small guys and the big guys need to get together, because there's a lot of sharing that can happen in that environment. But they're only going to come if there's a broad focus around trying to share the latest and greatest in the podcasting space and really be of value to the full spectrum. And it's a difficult thing to do, but I think it's possible.
And, you know, it's critical, too, that you get all the speakers to sign a piece of paper saying, I shall not sell. I shall not promote. I shall not self-promote.
It's about learning. It's about teaching. It's about sharing. It's about being a part of a community. And I think that's the foundation of this. And I think, Todd, you and I are a little bit frustrated because I think that we feel like we've lost that.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure why it's happened. I think a lot of it has to do with the fact that there's been a lot of churn in the industry around older people leaving the industry and not being involved in podcasting, a lot of new people coming into the space that just haven't had an opportunity to meet everybody. Right.
Yeah. And this, you know, it's nothing more frustrating when you go to a conference or a session and about 5 minutes into it, you say, this is just a pitch and I will leave and I will blast people on Twitter. And so I think it's very important that you guys very, very strictly tell the speakers, tell the people that are going to be doing the sessions, you shall not promote, you shall not sell. Because people will never come back to your conference if they're pitched. You'll never do round two of this. If it's a conference where we're getting sold to, it's okay to talk about your experiences, and that leads into a great discussion and maybe your story. But I think, you know, there was a couple of sessions at New Media Expo where I just wanted to throw up. I just like, oh my God, let me get out of here. And, you know, and I hope that, you know, people learn, you know, the exit thing I'm being sold to. It's, you know, I think that was the beauty of the early days of the New Media Expo when it was back in Ontario, was we really went there and people really shared and learned. And it wasn't about the business aspect. You know, everyone's got a business agenda, but you do that in the hallway, you do that in the evenings, you know, at the parties. You know, that's where you push your business agenda and make connections. It's not during the sessions where you're all there trying to, you know, because people are going to spend a lot of money to come in. You know, if I'm going to fly in, you know, for me, this is a $2,000 bill to come to Dallas. And I'm spending $2,000 to come to Dallas to learn. I'm not coming. Again, I've said enough about pitching, but definitely.
Well, let me ask you, when you were at the New Media Expo, and I understand that Rick makes them sign something like that or makes them commit to not selling from the stage, but it happens. So I think in that situation, it's just a matter of, is that person on stage next year? And if it is, then there's not anything being done about it. But if that person's not on stage the next year, then, I mean, if these people are signing it once they're on stage, you're not going to get the cane and pull them off. So it's how you react to it, I think.
I think Rick knew what he was getting into with his keynote speaker. I don't think he knew to what extent, but I'm talking about in the sessions themselves, too. People were pitching in the sessions, and unless people complain, you know, there's not a lot that can be done. But, you know, it'll be self-evident when the, you know, people are just, you know, the podcasters are pretty brutal.
You know, and Dan, we're not saying that that's what you're going to do. Or that's what's going to happen here. I mean, you have a brand new opportunity to chart a different course here. And I think that's what we're recommending.
Yeah.
Well, and I completely agree with that. We can take advice from you guys that have been to those podcast conferences before when they were, you know, doing it the right way, and not saying Rick's doing it the wrong way, but maybe some things that have kind of changed along the way that we can get back to and really appeal to everyone and not turn a lot of people off. We don't want people getting in our yep. sessions and blowing up Twitter, Todd. So we'll try to keep that from happening.
Yeah, and I think it's also hard to, I mean, for a first year event to take on these challenges too. But I tell you, if you can pull it off, I think you're going to have something that can be a really, you know, a rallying point for the industry and be something that's really important, you know, for everyone involved in this space, because it's sorely needed. I mean, I think that the New Media Expo is great for what it is, and it's grown, and it's been that conference that a lot of people have rallied around. But for some reason, it hasn't been all-encompassing. It's still, in the podcasting space, in my opinion, it's still a pretty small conference.
You know, if you guys listen to Gary, and he's going to help you guys make sure that you can embody the, and I know Gary's in the chat room. If you guys listen to Gary, and because you guys weren't at Ontario, you guys are relatively new to the space. If you listen to Gary and try to understand, you know, what the feeling and what the, you know, just imagine here's the best way to describe, at least what I would hope would be your guys' goal, is that you're having the biggest family reunion you've ever seen. You're having it where, you know, a group of people new. Okay. For example, you got the babies that are just new in the space, and you've got the grandpas, and you got everyone coming together for this big family reunion for 2 days. And a structured family reunion, but if you can really focus on, you know, having that as your, you know, because that's what people want. That's what's going to draw, in my opinion, it's going to draw some of these guys that have been in the space a while that, number one, have made a business of this and are being very successful with it. And number two, what do we do? We're content creators. We try to reach an audience. We try to make them part of our family, you know. So the same thing's going to happen with the podcasters. We just want to have a big kumbaya.
Yeah,
and I love that analogy, because that's like when we talked about the after parties or the after events really being where people see almost as much value as they do in the sessions. That kind of embodies that whole spirit. So if we can kind of make that somehow kind of cross over into the conference itself and just make it one big kumbaya session, and yeah, I think that would be mission accomplished.
Yeah, I think so too. And I think that, you know, if nothing more, if people go away talking positively about the rekindled connections and the new connections they made, that's important. You know, as a vendor, what we've seen at New Media Expo is that it's kind of the same small core group that are showing up to the show that we see year after year. And there's nothing wrong with that, but the core needs to get bigger that's coming to these events. And, you know, I'm hoping you guys sell 600 tickets, and actually I hope you sell 2,000 tickets and need to find another venue.
Yeah. No, that would be great. I mean, I agree with Todd 100% that it's up to this point, and you may find that to be the case, you know, with your conference, that the same people that go to the New Media Expo go to your conference too. But I also know that there's a lot of people out there that are going to be in a financial situation or a time situation where they have to pick which one that they want to go to, right? And so it's going to be really important for your conference to stand out from that. So they'll choose yours because either it's closer or it's going to be a more community feel than the New Media Expo, or it'll be less expensive, or there's got to be some story that, you know, podcasters can tell that going to your event is more important to them than going to the New Media Expo.
What's it going to cost them to get in the door?
So right now on the Kickstarter campaign, when it launches, they're going to be early bird tickets for $79. Oh, and then from there, price. It's going to be $99 for the standard tickets. And then in Kickstarter fashion, there's going to be additional ticket packages that have extras. One of them, we're going to have a structured event on Saturday night, kind of like you guys talked about. That'll kind of be a 2 hour after the event Saturday evening, just kind of more formal get together in terms of formal that it's put on by the conference. And then we'll have some, I guess, informal offshoot events that we'll be working with people if they want to host something like that. And then actually the top level ticket itself will be I don't want to say exclusive because that sounds cheesy, but it's going to be a much more intimate Friday night dinner before the conference where we will be inviting the keynote speakers and some other of the speakers that will be there to that dinner, as well as about 30 or so of the people that buy that special ticket, so they can get into that as well. So that's kind of our Kickstarter exclusive thing, because that's how Kickstarter that's what works on Kickstarter. So, and that's what we're doing. So the Saturday night and the Friday night events are going to be some special things that we're putting together, and those are different price levels. But the baseline ticket, the one that the majority of people will have available to them on Kickstarter, at least, will be $99.
Do you know what the cost is going to be for vendors? Have you guys set that price yet?
That's kind of Gary and Mitch. That's their thing they're working on. So we haven't quite set it yet. And I know Gary and Mitch have been talking to a few people already. So I'll defer to them to actually price out quotes on that.
Okay. Yeah, I think the evening get-togethers are going to be critical. You said that you're going to have some event that's going to, they'll have to pay extra to get into that.
Sorry, I lost you guys for a second.
Yeah, you said that on one event, the one evening event, they're going to have to pay extra to get into that event. Is that going to be I fully don't understand what that's going to encompass, because if one group's paying for an entrance fee and another group's paying for the extra party afterwards, you've already kind of split the group. So, yeah, hopefully there's going to be, yeah, well, I'll let you guys, just main thing is just remember the after evening events. In order to, I think what's going to have to be successful is to find some venues that, and it doesn't have to be sponsored by someone, but if it is, that's fine. They come in with cash and sponsor a bar or something like that. That would be great. But at the same time, there should be some events where people can come in. And the main thing is a great after evening location where people can kind of hang out and chat and talk. And Gary knows this. I'm sure he fully understands what I'm referring to. And you are too, I'm sure.
But it's a balance. I mean, with that, those events are what people put as much value in as anything else. And when we were at New Media Expo, people were paying, and I think I froze on your screen there.
Yeah, you did, but we can still hear you.
Okay, people were paying, $50 extra to go to one of these events. And so it's interesting because people are putting value in going to those events. But like you said, it's also, there's a ton of value in not splitting the group in half. So talking about the gives and the takes and the balances, those are things we're having to work on consistently. And those things will probably be changing and fluctuating until the start of the Kickstarter, just because with all four of the cooks in the kitchen trying to figure out a good balance and a perfect situation. And I'm not sure a perfect situation is ever going to happen, but we'll try to get as close as we can.
Yeah,
and you'll evolve the conference over the years, just like every other conference does, and you'll learn from your last one and improve it for the next one. So I think it's just getting a good foundation built and then just building on there. I think it's totally what is doable and what needs to happen, and I think it's great.
Skype must be having some trouble because you're both froze. It's bizarre. Yeah. You're both there. I still got great audio, but your screens are frozen. That's weird.
Well, at least we look good in our frozen shots.
Someone says in the chat room, says it needs more sports. So, here's that same thing. If you're going to have podcasters, you've got lots of topic areas, and being broad is going to be very, very important, because if you narrowly focus, then you're going to shut out people that may come that will say, oh, this is just for entrepreneurs, or this is just for techies, or this is just, so you got to make sure you keep it as broad as possible, to attract all those different genres, of listeners, because believe it or not, some podcasters could care less about the money.
It's true.
That's the last thing on their mind is the money.
Let me ask you about that, because if this is a conference for podcasters and not podcast fans, it seems like those techie guys would almost be preferential to the session leaders, because they're teaching about improving the podcast and things like that, which it seems like that's their space versus the sports guys. Well, so I don't know.
But a sports cast would be much different than a tech show, because sports casts are generally four or five guys. They're talking. There's very few highly successful sports shows. They're just one person doing a show. So, you know, there's different makeups. And again, it's not necessarily the techie guys. We can talk the geeky stuff all day long, but really you want to have as many diversified opinions about doing shows. And because what I'll do is I typically will try to go into a session that is in an area that has nothing to do with my space, so that I can figure, okay, what are these guys doing? Is there a few takeaways that I can walk away from? So, you know, having some diversity at the same time being broad. And I know that's almost impossible to accomplish, but
it's tough. And all these things are difficult to do, because you're dealing with, just like Todd, you've said, there's podcasters that oftentimes have an agenda, but I think you're right. I think, thinking about the genres that are very popular in the space right now, and then genres that are maybe up and coming, are also really, really good to do as well. And really focus on, and I think you're kind of doing this, is that you're looking at what the up and coming podcasters, the ones that are new in the space, the ones that are making some waves, right? I think it's important to have those folks too. But I think it's finding a balance, right?
Right.
The folks that people in the space like to follow need to be there too, as like a foundation. Well, you know, I want to meet this person, or I want to meet this person, or I want to talk to this person in person, right? And making that capability of being able to be accessible to everybody in the space. Now, that's also hard to do, but it's also something that was at the foundation of the Podcast Expo, is that for some reason, everybody knew each other,
right?
And everybody wanted to get together with each other. And I, believe me, I know this is hard to do. It's just what the space needs right now.
One thing, and I'm looking through your guys' list. I probably know about a third of the people on your speaker list so far. So make sure you have great bios for everyone, you know, because you guys have obviously invited them for a reason, and just make sure they have really good, really, really good bios. Because what I would do if I was thinking about coming is I would go through the session leaders list, and I would look at everyone's bios, look at their background, look at their qualifications, because if I'm going to spend money to come to a conference, I want to, you know, basically it's all about, okay, what is this guy going to bring to the, you know, is he going to do something that's going to be, and obviously the sessions aren't put together yet, but make sure that you guys have good bios on everybody. And I'm assuming, I know Gary hasn't asked for mine yet. Maybe he already had it, but are you guys building bios for each session leaders?
Yeah, we are, and kind of the thing comes in here where, obviously, if we're running a Kickstarter campaign to launch this thing, Kickstarter is very limited to what you can do on your Kickstarter page in terms of if you put, you know, this large image that has everybody's picture on it, but you can't really map out like hotspots on the image through Kickstarter to pop up bios, and trying to put 30 bios on the page would really junk it up and kind of kill the idea. So it's this balance, again, that word balance, that we're trying to figure out what to do with this so that we can, because obviously, like you said, that's the first thing people want to know is, hey, I don't know this guy, but let me find out if he's somebody I'm interested in seeing speak.
Right.
And they might go down that whole list doing that. So we got to figure out a way to have that available. And it might just be if that whole image is clickable and it pops up to a page of bios that's off Kickstarter.
Yeah.
So I think that might be something to do.
Yeah. And it's, you know, just as you guys populate your podcast movement site, get some meat in there behind that. That'll help too, so that people will know. But yeah, very, very cool. Rob, I'm excited for these guys.
Yeah, I'm excited too. I'm excited to go to Allen, Texas. Is that right? Allen,
Addison,
Texas?
Addison.
Yeah.
Texas in August when it's 110 degrees. Roast me.
So I guess this isn't the good time to talk about that there's a overflow availability for outside vendors as well. If we have a too much demand for vendors, I think that might not be a good option at that time of year.
No, not outside. And Dan, please, you know, one thing, you know, Rob and I are, you know, we're old guys in the space, I guess, for a better word. And Don't take anything that we say the wrong way. You take what you want, and it's your guys' conference. You guys run it the way you want to run it, because there's going to be 500 critics and 500 fans. So it's you can just do the best thing you can to balance it. And you know, in my opinion, it's you guys will kind of figure it out as you're going. And being a first year event, I know it's very, very challenging. And once you get one under your belt, then you guys will be okay. Well, this is what we need to do next year. Let's definitely not do this. You guys are going to learn. So it's and hopefully the community will support as you guys go through this ramp up time.
Yeah. Well, thank you. And your advice and your input is obviously huge to us. That's one of the reasons we wanted to get on this with you. And also Gary, I think he's going to be on with you in the future, and I'm sure you guys will get into this a little bit as well. But yeah, you know, that's our goal we want something for the podcast community, regardless of experience level, and really something that everyone will feel welcome at. If you're a podcaster, not just welcome, but also like you're going to get your money's worth, because it does cost money. So yeah, that's what we're trying to create, and that's what we're going for. And like you said, there'll be some mistakes along the way, but hopefully none of them are death blows, and we'll improve as we go.
One thing I saw podcamps turn into was this big social media thing. They were everything but podcasting. So what is the end goal with you guys? Are you going to try to keep the mix, you know, like 80-20? Have you guys decided how you're going to try to, you know, from a session standpoint, you're going to try to keep it, primarily podcasting centric, or how much of the other stuff is going to float in?
What do you mean?
Okay. So for example, I went to a pod camp one time, and the only thing they talked about during one session was Twitter. And while Twitter's important, you know, this was in the early days of Twitter. While Twitter was important and getting going, I don't know if I needed to spend an hour learning how to tweet and make it viable for my podcast. What I'm saying is it going to be 100% podcasting topics, or are we going to have an intermixing of social media, blogging? You know, is there any thought?
No, there's definitely thought. So the idea is 100% podcasting. So even, for instance, Cynthia Sanchez, she's really big in the Pinterest space, and she has a podcast about Pinteresting. But the whole idea of her session, it will be integrating your podcast with Pinterest and what you can do to leverage Pinterest for your podcast. So everything will have a podcast focus. And I know that's a little bit like your Twitter for podcasting thing brought up. But we think if we have, you know, we're going to have at least 3 concurrent sessions going on at any given time. So we'll put a ton of effort into not having 2 of those going on at once, so that if that's kind of the focus that person wants to have, they can go to it, but it's not their only option for sure.
One thing, because you guys are just getting started out, are you guys going to crowdsource recording the sessions? Is there a plan there? Are you guys going to allow for videotaping every session? Are we going to, you know, basically work together to get the conference up online after the conference, or any thoughts to that?
So there's going to be a cheaper option, a $30 option on Kickstarter to get just the media ticket. And it's not going to be a streamed event, because we've all been to a lot of events where the streaming doesn't work, and there's all kinds of refunds and random painful things that have to be done on the back end for that. But the whole idea is to record audio, because it's podcasting, and video sessions to make available to all the attendees and people that can attend. We're going to have that available. So I'm not sure that's exactly what you're asking, but that's our plan as far as that goes.
Yeah, I think, I don't know, Rob, but I've always, those extra tickets you have to buy to get the audio has always kind of aggravated me.
Yeah.
So that's going to be included in the regular tickets, but it's going to be an option as a ticket, a standalone ticket as well for people that aren't there, but it's a part of the regular tickets.
Oh, okay. Well, that's good. That's good. So yeah. So what you're saying is that the people that didn't actually go to the event will have to pay extra to get the sessions. Is that right?
But the people that are there, they'll have access to it just as part of their regular ticket.
Gotcha. Yeah, I've always wished that conferences would just make the audio available, because, you know, it depends on, you know, what the end goal is. Is the end goal to have a year 2 event? And oftentimes people will judge by the content that is, you know, put up online later, whether or not they're going to come a follow-on year if they didn't come the first year. So, but I'm sure there's going to be enough content creators that will be recording the sessions themselves, that some of that stuff's going to get out there bootleg anyway. So
Yeah, and I don't think that's a bad thing either.
Well, I mean, just purely an idea. I mean, making all of the sessions, you know, into a podcast might be something to consider too. If there's some way to actually do that. Yeah, I know that the Lipson folks, you know, they do have a subscription podcast kind of back end, right? So you could conceivably post those to a podcast feed that people subscribe to. So you could get paid for that too. So it's something to consider.
Yeah, I think that's interesting.
Yep. So let's talk a little bit about your show, because we kind of missed that at the beginning. I got so excited to talk about the conference. Dan, you do a show called Entrepreneur Showdown. What's your show about?
Yeah, so I feel like I'm walking through a minefield here after we talked about the glut of entrepreneur podcasters out there. I don't want to. Really what it is there's a ton of entrepreneur interview shows going on. I mean, just a ton of them, really. And my co-host, his name is Joe Cassandra. He and I, we both were fans of all those shows. And we also had dabbled in different podcast events before. But our goal with this was we want to do an entrepreneur interview show, but we want to do something completely different. We don't want to have the standard interviews with these guys because, quite honestly, a lot of the guests that a lot of these podcasts have on, it's the same guests over and over giving the same interviews over and over. So when we tried to figure out a format that would not kind of follow that, we decided that we were going to interview these same people, but we had to come up with a way to get different interviews out of them, get different ideas out of them. And really what we do is every time we have a guest on, we pick one specific piece of content they have produced, whether it's a book or a podcast or a blog post or something like that. And we interview them about that topic covered in that. So we really focus on one specific topic with these entrepreneurs. And then later on, if we want to bring them back, we can have the same guest on but get a completely new interview with them because it's focusing on another specific topic. So that's really what we do. And then my partner and I, we like to lead into the interviews with picking different topics in the small business online space. And we kind of debate them back and forth. So try to keep the showdown element going. And that's what we do in a nutshell.
Yeah, you know, having a, you know, I don't know, I guess from a business standpoint, I understand why people listen to these shows, but, you know, until you're running your own business, it's almost sometimes trial by fire when you're running a business, because you can have all the best advice in the world, but sometimes you just got to get out there and do it. And I know that, you know, a lot of these entrepreneur shows are selling, you know, this is what you got to do to be successful. And, you know, those tips are always great, but, I don't know. I come from a family of entrepreneurs, and having been in business, you know, my parents were self-employed, their entire lives and, running multiple businesses. And I know the challenges people go through, but it's good. These shows are out there that people can give, their life experiences, but, I'm glad you're not selling something in your show.
No, we're not. And one of the things we try to do to differentiate is Joe and I, we're part-timers at this. We're not afraid to say what we do full-time or what, you know, and Rob's face just shrunk really small there.
Yeah, something. He's back.
He's back.
Yeah. Yeah, I just turned my camera off and then turned it on again and it worked again.
Yeah, that's good. Maybe that's...
So try that, Dan.
Okay, and I'm back too.
Yeah.
But really, so what we take pride in is that we're not afraid to get on there and say, okay, we're part-timers at this. We're not trying to say this is the way to do it.
Right.
We'll question one another. We'll question the guests. And we really, one of the things we like to do is if the guest says something that doesn't sound quite right, we ask them. We dig in a little bit. We've asked somebody like John Lee Dumas, are you a fraud because you're talking about entrepreneurship when really your first entrepreneurial venture is a podcast? So we get guests on, and if we have a question, we just ask it. And we've had some guests turn us down because they've heard we do that. But then we've had other guests that have asked us to come on because they know it's going to be different. They know it's going to be something different for their audience to hear. So that's kind of the take we try to go with on that.
Seeing that you brought up John's name.
Oh, Todd.
Just as a general thing, podcasters have talked in general terms on how much money their shows have made. And they don't, you know, I think it's bad form to brag or boast. I don't know, maybe I'm old school and that's, you know, kind of the way it is, how much you make and what, you know, what you get in your paycheck is your business and not someone else's. I think actions largely speak louder than words. Doing anything, you know, doing a business, doing a podcast. I guess I get sensitive when people start claiming they've made X number of dollars. If you're going to do that, then let's see the canceled checks, you know, because that at that point, someone's got to, because to me, it's like, okay, you're bragging about how much money you're making. And to me, it's just like, okay, I'm already doubting Thomas because I know what people make in the space. I know what the top people make in the space because I write the damn checks to them. So when I hear someone bragging like that, then I have a critical eye, largely because, I know what space is really generating, and I want, you know, someone's going to brag that they're making X number of dollars. Then that's okay. Show me the canceled checks.
To be fair, it's not just John doing that. And I don't disagree with you on a lot of that, but it's not just John doing it. A lot of people doing it. And I think maybe it's the whole idea behind it is obviously trying to show more credibility and, hey, I'm doing this. I can teach you how to do it. And you know, I'm right, wrong, or indifferent. He does it and a lot of other people do it too. And it's a tactic. It's a technique they're using. And I think it's probably working for them. It's accomplishing what they're trying to do. But at the same time, it's turning off a lot of people to them. So I'm not going to deny that.
Yeah. Well,
yeah, I'd say in some ways it could be a self-fulfilling prophecy is what they're trying to do there. You know, they're putting it out there that they're making this much, and because they're doing that, they're going to make that much. So, who knows?
Well, it's no different than a lot of these online, these coaching programs where they come out and they have the blog that goes around their coaching program, and every other topic is about how you should really hire a coach because that's the best way to succeed. By the way, at the bottom of this blog post is a plug for my coaching program. You know, pay no attention to it, of course.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I do a lot of consulting and I have never advertised. And, you know, oftentimes the consulting that I do is going in and cleaning up other consultants' problems. Matter of fact, that's about 90% of my consulting business. So but I've never advertised once as a quote unquote consultant on the web or otherwise. All my stuff has come word of mouth. So, and here I am talking about it. So I guess I'm advertising it now. So
you can never say that again.
That's right.
Now, Todd, we want to know how much money you're making. Show me the check.
Yeah. So see between my. No, it's just, you know, it's not going to happen. So how's it, you know, when did you guys come back from New Media Expo and conjure up this podcast movement, or were you guys talking about it beforehand?
You know, I know Gary had been thinking about doing something ever since he did PodCamp Dallas this past summer, and he saw that there was a great reaction and a lot of new faces there and some returning faces as well. And I think he had a vision at that point that he could grow it to something bigger. I know there was some restrictions with the PodCamp name that he was possibly looking to get away from to help him grow and do a couple more things. Once we were at New Media Expo and we saw a few more possibilities, a lot of the things that we've already talked about, and he started talking with me because I was at his PodCamp Dallas, and Jared, who's kind of always looking to conjure up some new ideas and, you know, kind of getting roped into that with Gary and myself, that's where the whole much larger idea than just something regional came from.
Right.
Really, once we got to that New Media Expo and really saw the need for something like this and the want for something like this, that's really where it came from, was, I guess, Gary start with the PodCamp and then growing from there.
How long are you guys going to run the Kickstarter?
30 days. So that's kind of all the research we've done on Kickstarter. That's the right time, because there's, if all goes well, there's going to be a large spike at the beginning and a large spike at the end. So really, the longer you drag out that middle part, you're really just delaying the inevitable anyways, from what the research we've done on some successful Kickstarters. So 30 days is kind of that prime time period for a Kickstarter campaign that we've found out about.
Yeah, we did one for 60. It was okay. But yeah, I think you're going to know within the first week, you know, where, because the money comes in the most the first week and the last week. So at least that's been, you know, everything I've seen too. So, but 4 days, 21 hours, 47 minutes and 51 seconds. And they can find that information at podcastmovement.com. And that'll probably link right over to the Kickstarter page once it's active. Yeah.
Yeah. And we'll do all that we can do to share and get the word out about it to help you guys too.
Yeah, I've got a newsletter coming out on Monday, so we'll probably hit our 20,000 or so podcasters that are in our network on Monday. So Kickstarter starting which day? Tuesday or?
It should be Thursday. Is that Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday? Yeah, so 4 hours, 22, or 4 days, 22 hours.
So Thursday morning, the 13th. Yeah, maybe I'll delay send the newsletter out until Tuesday then or something to that effect so people don't forget about it. But we got 30 days to make sure they realize that this is happening. What you guys should do is get some banners made up and then, you know, share those banners around so the podcasters can put them on their websites and, you know, you get Rob and you get us and you get, you know, some of the guys that do podcast consulting. Get those guys to put some banners up on their websites. I think you'll help drive some podcasters in. You just, you know, got to target those folks that are reaching podcasters. So if you got time to do that, put
some. That's the weekend plans here. That's my fun weekend right there. You know, putting forth, because like you said, this front end of the conference is going to be getting ready for the Kickstarter is going to be a lot of time, but you know, we know it's going to be a lot of time from here, time commitment from here until the conference itself. So, but a lot of weekends locked in the office for sure.
So is it a do or die? If you got to raise the exact amount of money that's in the Kickstarter to get this thing, because I know you got a certain amount of money you're going to have to pay the conference or the conference center. You know, is it a do or die to raise the money?
No, I think we've set the Kickstarter amount low enough that even if we don't sell out through the Kickstarter, which we think is a possibility because of our limited number of tickets, at least that we're budgeting for here on the front end. But even if we were to not meet that, I think we've set it low enough to meet it. And if we don't meet it, then that's our, you know, proof of concept failing right there. So that's the idea behind it. If we don't meet it, then it maybe is a do or die, not from a monetary standpoint, but just from a support standpoint.
Right. Well, we'll keep our fingers crossed that this thing's going to rock and roll. So
we appreciate the help that you guys are offering, any help, because the whole goal, as we've said throughout this whole talk, is getting the community back together that's already there and adding, you know, new members to that community. And, you know, your reach is to a completely different segment of the community than myself or Jared. So, you know, any help that we can get from people to reach that community and let people know about it, that's really what we're working on right now, is just getting the word out and then let people decide for themselves if it's right or wrong for them.
Yeah, when are you going to start working on the session stuff? Is that going to come after the Kickstarter?
Yeah, it will. Right now, it's just going to be the idea behind the sessions as a whole, what the session tracks are going to be targeting, and then just putting the key on who the speakers are. And then after that, we'll kind of progress. We have some time to put together some of those. But we do want to, you know, if we're still trying to sell tickets, start telling people what they're going to see. Because I think that's huge. People can see names on a website, but really what their takeaways and what they're going to learn at these sessions is huge as well. So, again, that balance thing, we're going to try to transition smoothly into that.
I brought up let's see if I got it here. Is this the right? Whoops! Is this the right convention center?
Yes.
So just to give people a look see of this place, this thing's this place is nice.
Yeah, it does look really nice.
That's the thing about Texas. Yeah. There's lots of room to build big stuff.
Yeah, it's a I would call it more of a business part of town, because it's a large enough town. That there's a lot of offices and a lot of tech headquarters there for local tech companies, but there's only 4,000 people living there. So they have quite a bit of this kind of conference room space in the town compared to only having 4,000 residents. So it's a really good area, and it's a nice conference center. There's things going on there every weekend. A lot of the tech conferences that are based in Dallas are hosted there. So the local Dallas community is very familiar with that being the area for the tech conferences. So it makes sense from a local perspective as well.
Some places in Texas, especially when you get north of Dallas, are dry. Is Addison dry?
Dry for liquor?
Yeah.
Absolutely not. It's party central. Because
I think you get up towards McKinney and it's like you have to buy a membership to go into a bar or something. It's $2 for a lifetime membership at some places. So.
Yeah, and it's those old school Bible Belt rules, and yeah. I live in Allen, which is about I live about 5 minutes from McKinney, so I can attest to that being correct.
Yeah, I used to go up to in my days before becoming full time in the podcasting space. I used to have to go up to Raytheon in McKinney. So spent many a day and week in McKinney, and actually I've spent a lot of time in Texas over the past 10 years.
Spend a lot of money on buying those $2 memberships to different places?
No, not necessarily, but okay. Yeah, you know, McKinney, well, anyway, Addison's going to be great. And the cool thing is, too, is you've got, you know, people have two choices to come into Dallas. They come into Love Field or they can come into DFW, and that really covers almost every airline in existence. And, of course, American's a major hub there at DFW, but, you know, United even has flights in there. Southwest goes into Love Field. So there's plenty of options.
And both of those airports are about 15-minute drive from Addison, too. So it's super convenient and centrally located. So, like I said, that location was kind of a no-brainer for us, unless the number just gets astronomical in terms of attendees. But beyond that, we think we found the right place.
Yeah, it looks nice and cozy, too. I think that's, you know, I'm looking at this one image here of the And the folks that are on, they're watching live, really probably can't see this role. You can go over to addisontex.gov, but this lanai, if we can handle the heat, that lanai, yeah, that lanai is going to be fantastic for just hanging out and chit chatting. And have to get some, you know, some Texas iced tea without the alcohol station set up and stuff like that. I think it's gonna be fun.
Yeah, we're looking forward to it. And that there's a good, even though it will be hot, there's a really large outdoor area within that complex, within the kind of three buildings that our different sessions will be housed in. So we're hoping to get a few food trucks in there for the day of lunches. And we think that'll be kind of a fun way to get people out and, you know, mingling and mixed amongst each other. And then, of course, the iced tea station as well. That can't be missed.
So make sure you have some unsweetened ones out there for us Northerners that like unsweet tea. So,
yeah. I wanted to ask, what's the situation with the accommodations and the hotels? Is there
pricing?
Is it really, really close? And do you know what the typical rates are?
Yeah, so we've worked out pretty good rates right now. We're still negotiating them a little bit. And I think they're wanting to obviously get some more firm numbers about how many it's going to be. But Addison, like I said, it's very business-centric city. So there's a lot of hotels there, but a lot of them are empty on the weekend. So weekend rates are going to be very favorable for our conference. And they're all, like I said, within an eighth of a mile or a quarter of the mile of the conference center itself. So it's very walkable. The whole thing's going to be, even though it's not on the same complex. But I'm very confident we'll get some very good rates because of the location and being on a weekend.
Yeah, I was going to look it up, Rob, and give you just the standard rates in there. And usually Texas is pretty reasonable anyway.
It's pretty low, you think?
Yeah. Well, I'll just give you a rough on, this isn't even a negotiated rate. Let's see if it'll come up. You know, if on the weekend, if you wanted to stay at a Hilton, and that's like almost downtown, it was $99. So we're not talking downtown. You know, we're talking like the Hilton Dallas Lincoln Center. Is that close to Addison?
It's kind of close, but there's like a Hilton Place in Addison. It's none of these, you know, skyscraper 30-story hotels. It's a lot of 4 or 5-story hotels around there.
So
easily under $100, doubt about it. And that's before the group rate.
Here's a Hampton Inn, $55, Rob. Homewood Suite, $67, right in Addison. Again, yeah, those are the not super, those are the, you know, probably what would be more likely for people to stay at.
So would you say that there's like one good size hotel that everybody will funnel into, you think? If I think back to the old days of the New Media Expo, everybody stayed pretty much in the same hotel.
It's going to be possible? Tough. There's one big hotel that's maybe a half mile from there. Maybe not walkable in the Texas heat. We'll see that. Could be up to people.
I'm not walking 1/10 of a mile in the Texas heat.
We'll see, so there you go. And that might be an option too, is to try to target maybe a larger hotel and try to figure out some kind of shuttle service or something. But there's multiple medium-sized hotels that are, you know, all basically door to door, next door to each other, close to the conference center. So there's going to be some different options. We'll just have to decide what the best way to kind of promote those to people are.
I think most people will probably come in and get rental cars. You know, if you're going to come in, and I don't know, I wouldn't imagine taking a shuttle or taking a cab because you can probably on the weekends too, weekend rates again for rental cars are cheaper than than weekdays. As far as the, so you're going to be Saturday and Sunday. What time are you guys going to finish up on Sunday?
It's probably going to be four. I'm thinking 4 to 5, but logistically, we're still trying to work out some of those exact time frames. Right. What are your guys' suggestions? I know everyone tries to leave town Sunday.
Well, you're going to lose some people regardless because they'll have to, you know, catch a flight. You know, I have no choice. I'll be there till Monday morning. But, you know, a lot of people will probably try to catch those red eyes out. So if you get done, you know, the number of flights get more limited the later you get. So, but I don't know. You just have, I think.
I'd say like 3:34 or something like that, right?
Yeah. Because those that have to leave early will leave early anyway because they'll have to get to the airport at 2 or 3 or whatever it may be. But it all depends on where they're going. If they're going West Coast, it may not be a big deal. If they're going East Coast, they may have to punch out a little earlier. But so that probably it would be, you know, from a start standpoint, you know, you don't want to waste around too much time in the morning, get started pretty early.
Right. But you also don't want people to not have fun on Saturday night.
That's true. You know, we're all big
boys.
That's
right. Yeah.
All right. Well, it's going to be fun. Rob, we've already been at this an hour 25. So
yep.
I think we've just about killed a dead horse here. I think we're about done. again, for folks that are, we lost.
Oh, no, I'm just doing the recovery method. I'm trying.
Weird what's going on. But folks, if you want to definitely get more information here and get involved in this Kickstarter that's starting on Thursday. We want to go over to podcastmovement.com. Again, podcastmovement.com. And if you want to catch Dan on his show, you're going to want to go over to entrepreneurshowdown.com. Entrepreneurshowdown.com. You know, there's a bunch of, Dan, you need to get in those new domains that are being, those new TLDs that are being sold right now and get yourself a 5 or 7 letter domain.
How about a dot guru? I can go and sell some. Then I can have my coaching program on there for my dot guru.
Yeah, the dot gurus are going fast. I bid on about 20 of them and only got one. So whoever in the space got podcasting and podcast guru. I know they paid large for it. They did. They spent at least 4 figures to buy those two domains each, because I was trying at the same time to buy those two specific domains. But I got some good. I got one good one, and I bought some more here too. So yeah, buy yourself a dot guru over at GoDaddy.
Though I would say that website domain names are, I think, somewhat becoming less and less important these days. I don't know what you guys think about that. But
I don't know about that. It's the
Why do you say that? Just because people Google everything first, anyways?
Well, I think, I mean, if you look at it from like the 30,000 foot view, what's happening, and I'm only saying this just because that I think that the whole world is going more and more to apps for everything now. So the web is kind of, and this is a completely different topic here, but the web is becoming less of an important kind of business strategy, I think. Now, this has nothing to do with podcasting, but I just think that that's kind of the direction that it's going. I see more and more companies that are being app first and web second or third. So it's just a comment.
Yeah, but it's businesses. It's not content sites.
I think it's still important. I'm just saying that it feels like having a terrific domain name is becoming less and less important. That's all I'm saying.
Well, based on how much they were selling for, I think the general consensus is that domains are, you know, they wouldn't have been selling .guru.
No, they're still important now. But I'm just saying that over the course of time, it feels like getting a .guru or something like that. Is that more important than having a .com? I don't know.
Well, the problem is you can't buy a .com anymore. You know, you can't find a good short .com. You know, and all the .coms, all the good .coms I've purchased lately have been in auctions, you know. And
that's true.
You know, some of them I pay more than I want to for. You know, I think I'm up to 233 domains or something like that.
Jeez.
Yeah, yeah, but I sell one domain a year to pay for my habits. So,
yeah, I've really, really cut back on the domain names that I own. Yeah, I used to own like, I don't know, 20 or 30, and I think I'm down to like maybe 10 or something, 5, 10. But anyway.
Gary says, I did have to say I got fastpitchsoftball.guru. So that was what Gary said. All right, Rob, any idea who we're going to pitch for next week? Have you got any ideas?
I believe we have Gary Leland
coming on
talk about his new podcasting newsletter that's coming out.
So Gary, let's see, on the 15th, so that will mean, if everything's on schedule, the magazine will be out that morning.
Yep.
Yeah, good. So we can go through and we can criticize and talk about each other's articles. And
no, I don't know. Mine only came in at 900 words. I'm 200 or 300 shy from you guys.
So, I don't know what you guys wrote about, but I spent a considerable amount of time on my favorite topic and showed some new data points. And so I'm pretty excited for everyone to take a look at that information. I think some people are going to have a little bit of a shock factor because there's a new number in there that we've never talked about before that I'm sure is going to drive a lot of conversation in the space. So I'm looking forward to being able to talk about it next week.
Todd, you're revealed. So good at building suspense.
It is because it's big. It's a big, it's just a big deal.
That is a tease if I've ever heard one.
It's going to make people really ask some questions and I'm prepared to answer them.
Wow. I want to really read that article now. You've totally teased that one. Yes. No, I'm sure it'll be great.
So podcastentertainment.com, and actually we should bring that up on the website here. Let's see if I can. We got to get, I'm sure Gary's in the throes of putting it together. Let's see if I can type this morning.
Then the Saturday after Gary is Mark Ramsey, the broadcast radio consultant that I talked about on the show. I think it was last week. So,
okay. What did I type in? Oh, I know what I did. What am I doing wrong? Podcastentertainment.com. Isn't that right, Gary?
I think it's a Podertainment.
Oh, Podertainment.
Podertainment.com.
Oh my
That's right.
God. I better get that right. Podertainment.com. Okay.
Gary might pull your article.
Yeah, he might. Jeez. There we go. Podertainment.com. All right. I got to get that copied and get that on the website. So Podertainment.com. So this is where it's going to be. So very, very cool. And I know Gary's got a busy week of editing ahead. So we should have got that Pod Entertainment one too, Gary. All right, guys. You can contact Rob right here at Rob or Todd at newmediashow.com. Feel free to send your comments in. We'll be back with you next Saturday again at 9 a.m. Pacific, 12 noon Eastern, and 7 a.m. Honolulu Standard Time, but I know you could care less about that. Trade winds are back here. It's nice and cool. So it's all good here in Hawaii at 85 degrees this morning. So, sorry if you've got snow or rain wherever you're at.
Sounds rough, Todd. I don't know.
But until next time, everyone, thanks for being here. We'll see you. Take care. Aloha.
Take care. Bye.